Now, it's time to go deep for the exclusive info you need on the hockey team you love. This is Preds Insiders with your host, Ryan Port.
Brought to you by Dr. Kelly Rice, Family Cosmetic and Dental Sleep Medicine, Wyatt Johnson Ford, Geno's East, Downtown Nashville, and Osteo Strong Nashville.
On your flagship home of the Predators Radio Network, Smashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Welcome into the show on this Monday evening. It is Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Ryan Porth here with you. It is a special Norris Trophy edition of Preds Insiders, and I am happy to be joined by Willie Donick. He is the co-host of Darren Donick and Chase, and also the TV voice of the Nashville Predators. Willie, big news just about 10 minutes ago. Predators captain Roman Josi rightfully winning the 2020 Norris Trophy as the best all-around defenseman in the National Hockey League. It is so good to see the captain be rewarded with the Norris Trophy after his standout season for the Nashville Predators. Welcome in, Willie.
Good to be here, Ryan. Good timing on the announcement and then the start of our show. And our fingers are crossed. We expect to be joined by Roman here in just a few minutes, just minutes after learning that he won the award. And, you know, we've had the heartbreak, right, of seeing a Pekka Rinne, a Shea Weber nominated for awards like this and coming up short. So I'm so glad for Roman Josi. He's such a class act. I thought he was clearly the best defenseman. And the voters, I think, bore that out. I'm looking at Adam Vingan's official list of the points, 1,499 to 1,267. And you ask yourself, okay, how close is that? 109 first-place votes for Roman, 56 for John Carlson, who finished second. Victor Hedman finished third, only got 4 first-place votes. So it really came down to Josi and Carlson, and Roman got not quite 2 first-place votes for every one, but close to that. So a pretty decisive win when it was all said and done. So well-deserved for the captain.
Yeah, I felt like Roman Josi, for me, once I had a chance at the season pause to really dive into the numbers, the analytics and the underlying analytics, Willie, with Roman Josi versus John Carlson in this Norris Trophy debate. Once I had a chance to really take a deep dive into it, it felt like a no-brainer to me that Roman Josi was indeed the Norris Trophy favorite, or should have been. Now, coming into tonight, I didn't really know which way it was going to go. I guess I was a little glass half empty knowing the past awards results that the Nashville Predators have had, sans the 2018 Vezina Trophy win for Pekka Rinne. But you brought up Shea Weber. He got robbed of the Norris Trophy back in 2011 to Nick Lidstrom, in 2012 to Erik Karlsson. And I just had this feeling, Willie, that it was going to be another Karlsson to beat out a Preds defenseman for the Norris Trophy. But Roman Josi wins it with career highs in goals with 16, assists with 49, points with 65. There was even talk midseason, Willie, of Roman Josi as a defenseman setting the all-time single-season points record for the Nashville Predators. Paul Kariya owns that record with 85 points in the 05-06 season. Roman Josi, even in the shortened season, setting those career highs, and like we said, the analytics proved that Roman Josi deserved it over John Carlson, even though John Carlson finished the season with 10 more points than Roman Josi.
And congrats to the voters, who I think clearly now enough of them look at the analytics and do a thorough analysis and don't just look at the points. Whereas I do think there was a day and time years ago where that might have been a little more of it, a reputation. Let's look at the points, whose team is winning, and you sort of take it from there. Maybe a little bit more of an on the surface, but I think it's a great testament to the voters how they have looked a little closer, and all these analytics sites that we try to learn about. And I was no math major, but I think I've learned a lot. And what I was saying all along about Roman Josi is he's got the eye test, right? Hal Gill's great stat that he came up with, it's hardly an analytics stat, but he said, get it done-tivity. That's Roman Josi, right? He's got all of that. he will jump out at you even if you're just a casual fan. But then when you add the layer of analytics, it was clear-cut to show how unique he is offensively and defensively and the responsibilities he had. And then you take that intangible, too, of you know just the way he put the team on its back this year, and you got yourself a Norris Trophy.
Yeah, and to that end, Roman Josi also finished 7th in the Hart Trophy voting for MVP. Leon Draisaitl of the Oilers won the Hart Trophy as the league's MVP, but Josi finished 7th. He did get one third-place vote for the Hart Trophy. John Carlson finished 12th in Hart Trophy voting. So just to show you the value of Roman Josi, by far the top defenseman in the Hart Trophy voting, in addition to the Norris Trophy.
Yeah, I thought that was well-deserved. The voters vote 1 through 5. So he didn't appear on a lot of the Hart Trophy ballots, but I think that was a good little honorable mention, again, to, I think, salute him for basically carrying his team. He was the one guy among the top players on the team that did have a career year, although for him, it's a career year, but it's not that much greater than what we've come to expect from him year after year. So there's a build-up, too, right? That's part of winning these awards. You almost have to start building the recognition over time, and I think it didn't hurt that for the first time in his career, he wasn't alongside of a Shea Weber or a PK Subban, who were sort of dividing the spotlight a little bit.
If you're just joining us here on Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, Preds captain Roman Josi is the recipient of the 2020 Norris Trophy for the NHL Awards. And joining us now is the captain of your Nashville Predators, Roman Josi. Roman, thank you so much for joining us here this evening. Congratulations on winning the Norris Trophy.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
How does it feel?
It's pretty cool. It's pretty special. I mean, it's a great feeling. Obviously, you look at guys that won it, all guys you kind of idolize as a kid, guys you look up to, and it's pretty cool to win this award.
Roman, you skated so many minutes and so much ice time alongside Shea Weber, and Shea Weber was robbed of the Norris Trophy back in the years 2011 and 2012, and because of that, no Nashville Predator had ever won the Norris Trophy before you. How does it feel with an organization that has really prided itself on developing defensemen, high-class defensemen in the National Hockey League, to be the first Preds defenseman to win the Norris Trophy?
Yeah, it's pretty special. I mean, you're right. I think Shea definitely deserves to win the Norris Trophy. And, I mean, I was lucky to come up and have so many great defensemen in front of me with Ryan Suter, Shea Weber, I mean, me and Shea became really good friends, and just watching him every day and learning from him was, I mean, the best thing for a young kid coming to the National Hockey League. And there's been so many great defensemen, so it's a huge honor and very humbling for sure.
We're talking to the captain, Roman Josi, just named the National Hockey League's Norris Trophy winner, the most outstanding defenseman in the game. Roman, it's Willie. Congratulations to you. I know it's pretty fresh. It's only been a few minutes here. Who was the first person that you had a chance to talk to? Or I'm sure your phone is blowing up right now.
Yeah, I've been getting a lot of texts in, definitely. But I was watching at home with my wife, my two dogs. So, but I'm getting a lot of messages right now for sure.
Were the dogs excited that they hear your name? Did they perk up?
No, they didn't care at all.
They didn't care.
I think they're both sleeping.
You didn't let them know that the big moment was coming?
No, I tried to tell them, but I don't know. They just wanted food.
Well, they are dogs. But yeah. Roman, I think a lot about different guys. You mentioned Shea and some of the great defensemen that were influential to you. I also think of your teammates, Ryan Ellis, Matthias Ekholm, in particular. You guys all came up roughly the same time, within about a year of each other. You've all grown up together. I'm sure it's special for them, too, to watch this achievement here.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I remember going to development camps with Ellie and Eki probably like 10 or 12 years ago, and we know each other for such a long time, and we kind of came up together, and we're still playing together, so... Yeah, it's pretty fun. I mean, obviously, ton of credit goes out to those guys too. I mean, they're such great defensemen. I get to play with Ellie every night, and I should probably give him half of this award because he's so solid back there. He's a rock back there. He lets me play my game. So definitely a lot of credit that goes out to him too.
So you look at the history of this award. So many great players have come through. Your name just gets on that list. It's got, it probably hasn't even sunk in, but, regardless of what happens going forward, and hopefully maybe you grab another one of these down the road, but the history of it has got to strike you.
Yeah, definitely. I was looking up some of the names that won it, and like I said, I mean, you kind of grow up as a kid, and you watch those guys play, and you idolize them, and it's pretty surreal that that I won the same award as those guys you look up to. And even just the last couple of years, the players who won it, all players you compete against, players you admire. So it's pretty cool to be on that list.
I know how proud the fans of Switzerland are going to be of this. I see them flying the flags at Bridgestone Arena when some of those guys come through and they paint the flag on their chest and all of that stuff. Does this get you a little closer to Roger Federer status back in your home country?
No. He's unreachable.
But when you go home, I know that's even though they're fans of a lot of sports in Switzerland, hockey's pretty high up there in the list. That's got to be something they're really proud of.
It definitely is. People in Switzerland love hockey, and it's pretty cool for us over here to see all the support we're getting from back home. I mean, like you said, there's probably a Swiss flag at almost every game. Even on the road, I see a Swiss flag almost every game, and it's pretty amazing that people travel this far to see us play over here and just the support we're getting. So it's definitely pretty cool.
Roman Josi with us here on Preds Insiders. Roman just won the Norris Trophy. It was announced about 20 minutes ago. Roman, so much was made throughout this season in the debate of Roman Josi versus John Carlson about the analytics, and a lot of people brought you up as the should-have-been favorite because of the analytics. And I'm curious to know from you, how much do you personally pay attention to analytics within a season and what it could mean for you individually or your team with what goes on the ice?
Honestly, throughout the season, you don't pay as much attention to it. I think it's becoming more part of the game. The last couple of years, I think even coaches talk more and more about analytics, and I know they do a lot of analytics on your team and players and everything. So I think it's definitely becoming more of a part of the game. But I think as a player still, it's not something you look at every day. But I think as in the future, it's definitely going to become more of a part of the game.
Roman Josi has been our guest here on Preds Insiders. Roman, we know you're really busy here this evening after winning the Norris Trophy, but thank you for carving out a few minutes to join us here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
No problem. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right. Roman Josi, the winner of the 2020 Norris Trophy. And Willie, I'm a little surprised that his dogs weren't more aware of Roman Josi winning the Norris Trophy.
I know. I mean, I'm sure the dogs have just been around the apartment listening to this discussion somewhere and waiting in anticipation of this day to come, but apparently not. Apparently they were just wondering when dinner was coming. But all kidding aside, we have how many segments on our various shows, on this particular show on Preds Insiders, where we really kind of get down deep into the details, have we had? We've been building up to this, right? We've been saying this for months. We thought he was deserving. We're obviously watching him and scrutinizing him more. We probably have a bigger appreciation for him than a lot of people who are watching other teams. I'm sure there's some people in Washington that are disappointed for John Carlson, but you want to put all of that aside, and that's really where the analytics help kind of define things. And so I think this was very well deserved, and there was only just a little anxiety that it wouldn't go his way. So we're really glad that he's got the award. I'm also noticing that they announced, and this makes perfect sense, John Carlson and Roman Josi are the defense pair in the first team All-Stars that they put out there, with Connor Hellebuyck, the Vezina Trophy winner in goal, Leon Draisaitl, David Pastrnak and Artemi Panarin are the forwards. So that's a pretty good six right there.
I would take that six over many other options. yeah. But Willie, you bring up the analytics, and I do want to get into that a little bit deeper coming up next as to why Josi was the better choice over John Carlson. We'll get to that next. He's Willie Donick, Preds TV voice and co-host of Darren Donick and Chase, weekdays 10 to 2. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to Preds Insiders live on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back into Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Ryan Porth joined by Willie Donick this evening on Preds Insiders. We were just joined by Roman Josi. All he did this evening is win the Norris Trophy, becoming the first Preds defenseman to claim the award. Shea Weber came very close back in 2011. Shea Weber, I was looking at this earlier, Willie. Shea Weber was 9 points behind Nick Lidstrom in 2011 in the voting, and then 12 points behind Erik Karlsson.
Wow.
In 2012. I believe, if memory serves correct, those are the two closest Norris Trophy voting ballots of all time. And Shea Weber came out on the wrong end of both of them.
And we're not going to go back through it,
no.
But it was a crime that he didn't win at least one of them. It was a little bit of a lifetime achievement award for Nick Lidstrom, who had won multiple before, but it was at the end of the rope for him. He had a great year, but I don't think it was the same as Shea. And then you have that whole debate on what is a great defenseman. Erik Karlsson is a tremendous, maybe the best offensive defenseman, especially during that time. But Shea Weber, the all-around game, I thought clearly should have won it. But, you know, we're not bitter or anything.
Well, the voting between Josi and Karlsson was not as close as I thought it would be.
No, it really wasn't. You know, you look at the number and you're like, oh, that looks pretty close. But then when you look, you break it down to who got the first place votes, it was pretty clear cut.
Yeah, Josi ending up with 1499 in terms of the points. John Carlson, 1267. So that's a difference of, quick math, 232 points between Josi and Carlson. And this is the way it should have been all along. I didn't think it was going to end up this way, but this is the way it should have been all along, Willie, because of the term and the word that we've been saying a lot for the last 20 minutes, and that's analytics. When you look at the analytics and you do the deep dive, when you look at Yossi's value at 5-on-5, when you look at his value offensively, when you look at his value defensively, and, you know, to go deeper into that too, offensively, the impact that Josi had on the Predators' offense when he was on the ice versus when he wasn't on the ice was night and day, a much larger difference than when Carlson was on the ice for the Caps versus when he wasn't on the ice for the Caps. It leaned heavily towards Roman Josi. He was better at 5-on-5. He was better defensively. This really should not have been close, and it wasn't in the end, but it would have been a crime if John Carlson had won the Norris Trophy this evening.
Well, one thing that we discuss a lot during the day-to-day beat of an NHL season is what happens is you have this collective narrative that starts to develop, especially when a guy gets off to a gigantic start like John Carlson did. Remember, he was setting the pace with these points, and it was eye-popping. And the narrative started swirling around him. In fact, I can remember vividly a conversation that me and Darren and Chase had with Elliot Friedman, one of the first weeks that we had him as a guest on our show. And he said, you're going to have a hard time catching up to John Carlson. And I think he was getting at that whole thing that starts happening. And the same thing happened, to be honest with you, when Pekka won the Vezina, because Andrei Vasilevsky was the guy that had the early eyeballs on him. But that's where the analytics start coming in. You start to have a little bit more of a moment of, well, wait a minute now, before you vote, let's take a look. You might think that it's this guy, but take a look over here because the numbers suggest otherwise. Chris Mason and I, you know, especially Mace, he goes on a lot of shows in Canada. I go on my share as well, especially when we go up and travel through there. And that is one thing that we try to make people aware of and say, don't take our word for it because we represent the Predators and their broadcast team. Look at the analytics and then maybe rethink it. And you'd be surprised how many people said, you know, I was not aware of that. And we're talking about things like, you know, all these great tools that are out there. SportLogic is a good site. I know Adam uses some of that. Adam Vingan does on The Athletic. There are some people directly with The Athletic. Dom Lucision is one. Like, let's just take one very simple. Dom Lucision has one category that he puts an entire, and this came in probably late February, and this is what I thought simplified it a lot, just bore it down to the low gravy. And that is, he has one stat that encompasses all the facets of a defenseman. And Roman Josi clearly was number one. And John Carlson, surprisingly, was more at number eight or number nine at that time. And so that, to me, illustrated the all-around ability of Roman Josi. Then you get into unique things like how often Roman Josi carries the puck out of his own zone, how many times he rushes all the way up the ice and into the offensive zone, how often he controls the puck in the offensive zone. And he's unparalleled with all that stuff. Some of the things that we've learned about just in the last 5 to 10 years with the advancement of these stats.
So were you referencing game score value added?
Yes, all game right. score value added.
GSVA in the NHL analytics world. Roman Josi was 3.63, by far number one in the National Hockey League. Victor Hedman was second at 3.32, and we should say Victor Hedman finished third in the Norris Trophy
building.
Yeah,
and he is a brilliant player. I mean,
oh my gosh.
When you watch him tonight, you'll see what kind of impact he has on the game.
He makes things look so easy out there for the Tampa Bay Lightning, but that's neither here nor there. So John Carlson ended up 10th on that list at 2.33. with GSVA. So Roman Josi, number one at 3.63. John Carlson, number 10 at 2.33. And you brought up Dom Lucision of The Athletic. In this article that I'm looking at with those stats, he mentioned, quote, at 5-on-5, Josi has a larger impact than Carlson in both expected goals and actual goals at both ends of the ice. On offense, the difference is modest, but it still leans Josi, suggesting all those points Carlson has scored hasn't changed the bottom line as much as Josi has. The big difference, though, remains on defense, where Josi has had a very strong positive impact, while Carlson has not only been negative, he's been among the league's worst. What good are all those points if he gives them right back? So that was just a snippet of The Athletic's latest NHL awards tracker back in March at the season pause.
Well, you can imagine how we tried to circulate that. We were actually, as you recall, in Montreal and Toronto around the time that came out. And so we were just trying to utilize that. We discussed that on our pregame show in Montreal, which, of course, ended up being the last game that the Predators played before the pause, which is really so it was really the ending evaluation point of the entire season, as it turned out. Little did we know at the time. But I think that really spelled it out for me. But then all these other tools only fortify that position. But once again, it's to the credit of the voters that they're paying attention to this stuff now, and they're really looking. Now I think the question, Ryan, going forward, is how do the Predators and how does the coaching staff utilize this unique skill set going forward to maximize not only Roman Josi's stats, but the entire roster's? Because there could be some tweaks in the system. You know, there's a lot of debate on, you know, do you want Roman Josi to be full throttle leading the rush as often as he does? Or is he effective? Or can the team be more effective if he does it a little less? I mean, that's a pretty interesting question going forward.
Well, let's get into that coming up next. He's Willie Donick, Preds TV voice and co-host of Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I'm Ryan Porth. Roman Josi, the 2020 recipient of the Norris Trophy, and we will get into that coming up next. How can the Preds further build around Roman Josi moving forward after he wins this Norris Trophy? That's all coming up next year on Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back into the show. Yes, a glorious Norris Trophy victory for Roman Josi earlier this evening, about 45 minutes ago. Roman Josi becoming the first Preds defenseman to win the award. Ryan Porth alongside Willie Donick here this evening on Preds Insiders, which is brought to you every week by Dr. Kelly Rice. Visit KellyERice.com. Nashville's number one Ford dealer, Wyatt Johnson Ford. Geno's East on the corner of 3rd Avenue and Korean Veterans Boulevard in downtown Nashville. And OsteoStrong Nashville. This is Preds Insiders on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Coming up at the top of the hour, it is the Commodore Hour with Joe Fisher. Coming up at 7 on ESPN 94.9 at 7, it will be Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Final between the Stars and the Lightning. We'll be getting into that here in just a little bit. But, Willie, you brought up an interesting angle with Roman Josi and with the Nashville Predators and maybe a little bit of the style of play that the Predators might look at pursuing moving forward. And Roman Josi has been such a big part of not only how they play defensively but offensively as well, with how he can take the puck from coast to coast like butter toast, as our boy Terry Crisp would say. But you brought up a fair point last segment of, is that always going to be the case for Roman Josi and the Nashville Predators, or is there a thought to maybe tinker with that thought and maybe let the forwards control the puck a little bit more?
Well, we know that in a second, Roman Josi would trade the Norris Trophy for the Stanley Cup, just like any good captain, any good player. So I think he will do whatever it takes to win and maximize the roster. When you think back to when Roman Josi was just coming into his own, which was the last year of Barry Trotz, 2013-2014, and the first year of Phil Housley on the bench. And if you remember, down the stretch of that season, which was unfortunate because the Predators fell just short of making the playoffs, they just could not, at the end of the day, recover from Pekka Rinne missing 51 games with the hip injury, the really scary virus that he got, infection. It short-circuited everything. And, you know, we'll never know what would have happened had that not happened, right? That's one of those crazy what-ifs. But down the stretch, Barry Trotz kind of let Phil Housley unleash Matias Ekholm, Ryan Ellis, Roman Josi, and the Predators went something like 9-1-1 to end the season and came really close to making it to the playoffs, but they were too far behind ultimately to make it. But down the stretch, Roman Josi started really playing well. Then you bring in Peter Laviolette the next year. Phil Housley's already had this group for a season. Seth Jones was in that mix as well. And I think that's where they really came up with the five-man attack. Don't worry about it. If it's a defenseman that leads the rush, these guys can skate. These guys can move. Let's go. You know, move that puck, jump into the rush. But there are those that think that, you know, maybe to get the most out of your forwards, there's got to be a little bit more of a blend. And I do wonder if John Hines will look at that, and this is where analytics come in, and they'll spend the next couple of months, I'm sure, as they tweak the roster and look at all this stuff to try to figure out the best way to do it. So it goes back to adapting when you bring in a new coach. It wasn't working in terms of team success. We have a long list of forwards that the Predators need to get more out of. So what's the best way to do it? And I'm not enough of an expert to tell you how to do it, but I do think that there's going to be some tweaks to it. And I think Roman Josi is a great enough player to where the numbers will still be there for him. You know, he may just not carry the puck as often, but I think you might see him get even more points as a result.
Well, that's interesting you say that, because Roman Josi is so good with the puck on a stick. I mean, he's like a magician at times with carrying the puck through the neutral zone, bobbing and weaving through opponents, through the neutral zone and into the offensive zone, that it would be tough for me to really scale that back if I was John Hines. Like you mentioned, I like the word you used with the word blend. There's got to be a blend. There's got to be a fair balance, because I don't think you can go to the extreme the other way and not have Roman Yossi.
It's like, yeah, you got that weapon. You got that unique player. You have to use it, no question.
But I do wonder if that thinking from Peter Laviolette and Phil Housley, and the fact that defensemen over the years for the Nashville Predators, especially in the last 5 or 6 years, have quite often carried the puck into the offensive zone, how that has affected players coming into this system midway through. When you look at players like Mikael Granlund or Kyle Turris, who weren't instant fits like they were at previous stops in Minnesota or Ottawa in those cases, or someone like Matt Duchene, who had a very Matt Duchene-like season, but he didn't have a huge season like I think a lot of fans were expecting, and certainly the huge season that he had last year in a contract year before coming here to Nashville. So I do wonder how, you know, just a little tweak or more of a blend, as you put it, could maybe help the forwards that have been struggling.
And when the team is winning division titles or winning President's Trophy or making a deep run in the playoffs, then there's no reason to tweak anything.
Sure.
But when you have a little sag in the season, like they didn't have as much success, then I think you look at those things a little bit more, especially when you have a new coaching staff. The other thing I would say is this. This is what my observation was sometimes. There were some games where I think, you know, Roman Yossi was hoping and waiting to see if, you know, offense would be generated. And there were times that I thought that they needed a goal, and it was like, you know what? I'm the guy that can get this done, and nobody else is doing it. I will generate offense where there is none right now. I can think of a lot of games where they came from behind. Maybe they were really struggling. I'll give you two examples. And this was during a period of time that the team wasn't playing particularly well. There was a game in Ottawa, and it's probably one of the more underrated goals of the year that he scores, because it's not a real featured game. It wasn't a sellout crowd, but it was late December during that goal streak that he had. The Predators played a terrible second period. They were behind. He just put the team on his back. He skated through the entire defense of Ottawa and put the goal in. Eventually the Predators tie. They lose the game in overtime, but they got a point that they otherwise really didn't deserve. And the same thing happened. He makes the same kind of play in Anaheim, another nightmare second period. This was a theme sometimes, right? Early in the season, some bad second periods, some snowball action where things spiral out of control. But the Predators had a late night game, which turned out to be Peter Laviolette's last game. They salvaged a point, and Roman Yossi made a play in that game where he skated through everybody and makes an unreal pass to Rocco Grimaldi, who makes a great finish to get the game to overtime. They lost in the shootout in that one, too. But those are just some examples of, okay, nothing's happening. I have the ability to change the game, and so I'm going to change the game. And so you certainly don't want to take that away from him. It's just a matter of trying to maximize everything that you've got.
Well, and the first example that you gave was during that East Coast road trip where at the time it looked like it was going to be a turning point within the season, where they won 3 of 4, they collected 7 of a possible 8 points, and Roman Yossi scored 6 goals in 4 games in that 4-game trip. I believe it was over the course of an entire week. I mean, it was a season saver at the time after a demoralizing loss against the Dallas Stars at home. Yossi was so consistent all season long, and, you know, to your point, I am hard pressed to think that you can go to the extreme the other way. I think there's got to be a blend with Roman Yossi and the puck carrying ability that he has. Now, I think another thing to think about too with this Nashville Predators team moving forward, when you look at the defense as a whole, you know, you've obviously got Roman Yossi and Ryan Ellis as your top pair. I don't think anything is changing on that front. When you look deeper on the blue line with Matias Ekholm and Dante Fabro on the second pair, I do wonder if GM David Poile is going to take a hard look at trying to find a veteran defenseman who can come mostly on the cheap in free agency that can be either your fourth defenseman or your fifth defenseman that can be a good security blanket for Dante Fabro, because Dante Fabro, I think, had moments this past season where he looked like the future stud defenseman that the organization thinks he can be. He also had a lot of rookie moments throughout this past season. So I do wonder defensively, when you look at this Preds team, whether there will be an addition within that top four, maybe top five for the Preds.
I think it's something worth looking at. I'm sure they will weigh a lot of different options. Let's look at Dante Fabbro for a minute in the context of what Roman Yossi is today. Roman Yossi played a full season in Milwaukee in 2010-2011, 69 games at the AHL level, and played five more the following year before coming up and playing 52 games, 2011-2012. He played, and just to give people a little refresher, that year the Predators got to the second round of the playoffs, a good Predator team. But he was not called upon to play the big minutes that early in his career, right? He was maybe a third pair. In fact, he played some games with Hal Gill before Hal got hurt and missed a lot of the playoffs that year. That was the third pair. And so they brought in a veteran like Hal to stabilize, but they had Ryan Suter and Shea Weber playing 25 to 30 minutes every night. You know, and thinking back to Ryan Ellis, really wasn't a main guy yet at that point. All that to say, it took about 100 games. I've heard more than one analyst tell me when it comes to defensemen, it takes about 100 games to really know what you've got. Dante Fabbro has played 64 games. You feel like he's been around for a while, but he had no games in Milwaukee. He went straight out of college, right into the Predators at a huge stretch run and then into the playoffs, and then played his first full season last year. He is just scratching the surface on what he's going to be, and he didn't get any seasoning time for Milwaukee. That's a tribute to him. He's gone the Seth Jones route. Not very many guys have done that, just thrown right into the fire. But it is a time to sort of look at it and say, okay, is there a guy out there that fits in the budget that could spell and maybe take some heat off of him and play with Matthias Ekholm, whereas Dante Fabbro could get some better matchups, a little more confidence, still probably play a lot with Matthias Ekholm, but you know, continue to gain that experience that you've got to get before you know the league. I used to talk to Phil Housley about this all the time, because remember when the light came on for Roman Yossi, for Matthias Ekholm, for Ryan Ellis. It was all after they had played about 100 games. So Fabbro isn't there yet.
Right, exactly. So we're about another half season away from that 100-game mark for Preds defenseman Dante Fabbro. This is Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Ryan Porth and Willie Donick here with you on this Monday evening. If you are just joining us, Roman Yossi was the 2020 Norris Trophy winner. Just before we hit the air at 6 p.m., Roman Yossi did join us as well in that first segment. If you missed that interview, you can catch it on demand at thegamenashville.com. Coming up next, we'll dive into the Stanley Cup Final, Tampa Bay versus Dallas. The two teams are on the ice for warmups before Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Final in Edmonton. That game can be heard coming up at 7 on ESPN 94.9. We'll give our thoughts on the Stanley Cup Final and other NHL news and notes coming up next here on Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back into Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Yes, Roman Yossi was named the best defenseman in the National Hockey League for the 2019-20 season.
Did he work with Mr. Miyagi? Maybe that was the secret.
Maybe he had some of that special potion from Mr. Miyagi.
Wouldn't have hurt. Wouldn't have hurt.
Absolutely not. So Roman Yossi,
Swiss version of Mr. Miyagi.
Yes. Speaking of Swiss, he became the first NHL player from Switzerland to win a major NHL award tonight when he won the Norris Trophy.
Well, I wasn't sure about that when we interviewed him. I probably should have looked that up before we did. I was pretty sure. But you've seen him, Ryan. They got some wacky fans. They love their sports. It's not a huge country, but their stars, they love seeing them do well. There have been countless Swiss fans. They're not all related to Roman. I'm sure some of them are, but they came in. Remember, Roman was not the only Swiss player on the team the last few years. There's been a Kevin Fiala. There's been Yannick Weber. And it's still unfortunate that you know, this would have been the time in the next coming weeks or so. In fact, the team might have been in Switzerland right now had everything gone according to plan.
Very good point.
But, you know, what's done is done. But I just – it's so fun to watch those guys come through. They harass Darren on the postgame show at Barrel House all the time.
Or take pictures with Darren and Pete and Hal while they're on the air with the postgame show.
No doubt. So, you know, this is such a great – source of pride for those fans. And if you watch them in the Olympics, which this is going to be a treat, right? The next Olympics that roll around, the top players will be in there. Just watch how special their fans are. And so that Roman Josi is the number one guy when it comes to Swiss hockey.
You know what else is a positive about Switzerland? The flag is a big plus.
Because it's why? The simplicity?
Yeah, it was a dad joke. The flag is a big plus about Switzerland.
Okay. Yeah. I'm thinking crisscross, red cross. What?
We will move on. The NHL Stanley Cup Final coming up at the top of the hour. You can hear it on ESPN 94.9.
I'm supposed to get all the dad jokes.
I know. I was really hoping that you would catch on to that, and then it was just fart noises. So we will move on to the Cup Final tonight. Game two. Tampa Bay Lightning, Dallas Stars in the Stanley Cup Final. The Stars continued to stay hot Saturday night, winning Game 1. Game 2 tonight, you have to think the Tampa Bay Lightning are going to have a response. They have won all five games following a loss in this postseason. You have to think the Lightning are going to respond tonight, right?
I would think. Now, I don't know if we know yet. Steven Stamkos... still out. I think they're hoping that before this series is over, he might play. He will not play in game two. I'm looking to see this now. But everybody's banged up. That's the thing that you just never know, is how much under 100% are some of the key guys.
This like almost point. Yeah, this almost reminds me of the St. Louis-Boston series last year, where St. Louis had a really grinded out kind of system. They won a lot of games because of their system. And it was kind of this Cinderella type run where they found a way to win all sorts of games late. And that's what Dallas is doing. And St. Louis last year faced a Boston team that was really beat up, especially as that Cup Final went along. And the Lightning throughout this entire postseason have suffered a lot of injuries. A lot of players are playing hurt right now, or maybe even playing injured. I'm sure there are also some players banged up for the Stars, but the Lightning seem to be really banged up. And if Dallas wins tonight, they're going to win the series.
Well, crazy things happen, but I would agree with you. I think Tampa Bay seems to be the more banged up team among the two. And there's just something about Dallas, and game one was no exception. They jumped ahead, and then the shots at one point, I think from the point, I think Doc Emmerich said this, they took the 2-1 lead, and then they gave up 20 of the next 22 shots or something, but outscored the Lightning 1-0 to go up 3-1. So there's just something about Dallas. They seem to be charmed. This seems to be their year. I think they've sort of embraced some of that. Mm-hmm. They haven't always been the better team. It just seems like they figure out a way to win it. But you talked about Tampa Bay. They've lost some really tough games, right? But bounce back every time. Like Barry Trotz, how many games have gone to overtime that Tampa's been involved with? Tons.
About 35.
It seems like it. And when you add up all the overtimes, it is probably close to 35.
I saw on Twitter that I think this was after Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Final against the Islanders, that they had played the equivalent of 20 games, but they had actually played 16 games because of the overtimes.
Right.
Which is just mind-boggling to think of with the condensed nature of the schedule. I mean, there's going to be a back-to-back. If Game 5 is necessary, which I would assume it will be, there will be a back-to-back Friday and Saturday in the Stanley Cup Final. That's just unheard of.
And we have to say that Anton Khudobin is so locked in and a little bit unorthodox, right? This gives you hope, too, if you're envisioning down the road, can a guy like UC Saros have success in the playoffs. Sure. There are those that think it's just tough when you're not as big, especially in the playoffs when things get a little nastier, a little more contested right in front. Anton Hudobin has a chance for the Conn Smythe, doesn't he? If they follow through on this,
he has to be. Yeah, he has to be one of the favorites for the Conn Smythe if the Stars win. If the Lightning were to win, you have to think of Victor Hedman as being high on that list. Braden Point, if he has a really productive Stanley Cup final, I would throw him in there as well. Vasilevsky, really the stars of the Lightning would be at the top of the Conn Smythe list if they were to win.
So. And who would have thought that a run to this point for the Stars would have been generated by Anton Hudobin?
Yeah.
Right?
No kidding.
And so the everything that has gone, and it's a little bit like the 2017 Predators, right? They've, you know, Hudobin is a separate category, but also some of their secondary guys, Jason Dickinson, Dennis Gurianov, Kiviranta, who they've pulled up and thrown in there, who'd never played before. He jumps in there. He's had enormous goals. Got another one in game one. Jamie Oleksiak. I don't think I'd ever seen the guy score a goal. He's got five goals in the playoffs. He's a stay-at-home defenseman. He's made big plays, but that's how you get to this point. Everybody makes a contribution.
No doubt about it. Well, Willie Donick, thank you so much for joining me here on Preds Insiders here this evening. It was great to see Roman Josi win the Norris Trophy, and once again, congrats to the captain on claiming the 2020 James Norris Memorial Trophy.
Big congrats to Captain Josi. Great stuff.
For Willie Donick, the TV voice of the Nashville Predators and co-host of Darren Donick and Chase, I'm Ryan Poore. Thank you so much for listening to Preds Insiders this evening. Coming up next on ESPN 94.9, it's Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Final. Coming up next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, it is the Commodore Hour with Joe Fisher. Thanks for listening to Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.